This is CliffCentral.com.
All she needed was some.
You know what it means when you hear that, baby.
All she needed was at a Clippers game on the court side. Watch a nigga shoot like a 4-5. They mad at me too, I got more fire. Why these bitches see you? Go home, Roger.
Go home, Roger.
Seeing Tamara in my bed, I'm a smart guy. I ain't fucking with you niggas like a part-time. Nah.
Check my archive. What up, world? You're listening to The Worst Guys. It's Malcolm Healy on the mic right now. And we do it in the worst way every day. But the day that we come to you is on a Wednesday. So welcome to the show. We hope you guys enjoy it. Because we enjoy living it. We enjoy loving it. And speaking of loving it, we're going to talk about loving each other. But we live in the future now, right? So we are trying to figure out what it is about us and dating online. Is that a thing? This is actually kind of personal to me because, you know, it's hard out here. It's hard out here finding true love, right? And some people seem to find it online. Tinder, whatever the case might be, whatever people use. I don't use any of the apps, so I don't even know how it works. Swipe left, swipe right. I don't even know which one means you'd like the person. But maybe I'm old fashioned. That's what I'm trying to say. My opinion is that if you're on Tinder, you're washed. Right? I can't be the only one who believes that, because I mean, you are the only reason why you have to go on Tinder, right? You can go out and find people, but I mean, like, maybe we become lazy. Maybe it's convenience. I don't know. Like, really, maybe I am old-fashioned, but I just don't see myself meeting my soulmate on Tinder. You know, because I don't want that to be my story at the wedding. Right? I'm at the wedding. I'm telling my speech. You know, it was love at first swipe. No. It can't be love at first swipe. I need to see her from across the room, and some energy needs to sparkle. And I'd be like, oh, that's my soulmate right over there. And then you go up to her and you talk to her. And at first she's like, no. And you're like, oh, well, let me buy you a drink. Let's chat. And then you convince her. And then you're like, wow, I'm in love with this woman. You know, that's how I've always seen it. But maybe my life is a movie and I'm very much a romantic, and the truth is that now you can just swipe and find somebody to love. I do know a few people who are in good and healthy relationships from the likes of Tinder. So I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just still not sure whether I want it to be my story. And I want to know from you guys as well how you feel about, you know, online dating. Is it your story? If you have a great online dating story, please, I would love to hear it. You can hit us up on Twitter at @_worstguys, or you can hit us up on Facebook and Instagram, The Worst Guys, both of those. And yeah, chat to us. Let us know, man. We're all about different opinions. Nothing here is absolute. It's just the way we feel about things. You know, The Worst Guys, we tell the truth, the whole truth, the nothing but. So yeah, online dating. Okay, here's the thing. If you love somebody, I genuinely believe that it has to come from an initial contact prior to, you know, seeing the aesthetic. You know, you always judge somebody when you see them, right? When you're out, but on social media or Tinder, it's almost behind a curtain, you know. Your decision to approach, actually, now that I'm starting to think about it, guys, I might actually be pro online dating, because I'm a futurist and I'm actually about making things easier for us. And all it is seeing somebody that you might like, instead of them being across the room, they're on your phone. But actually, I'm not here alone. I'm here with one of the honorary worst guys. His name is Loyiso Mzinyati. He's going to tell us what he thinks about it. Yo, Loyiso Mzinyati.
Yeah, what's up? It's good to be back.
Yeah. Good. So what's happening, dog? Tell me how you feel about online dating in general. Pro?
Well, yeah, I'm definitely pro, man. Hey,
oh, really?
Hey, any chance to find a significant other? I mean,
it's hard out here.
Hey, man, it's hard out here in these streets.
Okay,
man.
So have you been on the Tinders?
I tried out Tinder once for a few months. Got a couple of matches, but I didn't actually meet anyone. So I mean, I'm not. I can't say I'm the authority.
Oh, okay.
On these sites. But no, I definitely didn't match with quite a few people.
Okay, but then, I mean, like, why did you stop using it?
Well, for me, you know, Tinder's linked to Facebook. And, I'm not a Facebook guy.
Yeah, so I can't do Facebook anymore.
I just couldn't do it, man.
Yeah. Me neither. That's true. Okay, so you wouldn't mind meeting your soulmate. You wouldn't mind meeting your soulmate in social media or online?
No, of course. Listen, that's how the times are going. That's how the times are going now. I mean, you know, the world's always evolving. You know, back in the day, they married when they were 18, because quite frankly, you weren't going to meet people back then. So, hey, you got what you got, you know. But now, and then we evolved, and we were meeting people in high school, then we're meeting people in varsity, then we're meeting people through social media now. And it's just going to keep going like that. So, you know, I think there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Okay. Don't you, though, miss that excitement or that thrill of the chase? You know, when it's here, it's in the moment. It's either I talk to this woman right now or she's leaving the club and I'll never see her ever again.
Well, I mean, yes and no. Yes, in the sense that, yes, I get that whole, you know, that the in the club vibes and you know, you have that competition, you know, these thirsty niggas are on you, just trying to get in there first. Everyone's like, hey, it's going to be me, you know. But no, also in the sense that there's still a chase online, you know. You have to pique her interest through the DMs, you know. You know, DMs aren't set in stone, as everybody knows. You have to be smart, you know, getting some jabs in.
Okay,
until she eventually gives you the okay, like, hey, when are we meeting up? Then you know it's done, you know?
All right, well, I don't know about you personally, but my DM game is whack. My texting game is whack in general.
Hey, same here. It's why Tinder evidently wasn't for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying as well. Like, you just can't convey tone or, you know, humor as well via text.
For us. But remember, we outgoing and we have no problem speaking to people on a social level. But other people aren't like that. So maybe they need that initial, you know, contact via social media where they have the blanket of their phones where they can express themselves. And then once they've built up a rapport with someone, they know going in that even though I can be socially awkward at times, when we meet each other, you already know how funny I can be. You already know my interests. I've already told you I'm socially awkward. So it's I guess for people like that, it would be easier.
I've actually never thought about it from that perspective. And in terms of the distance, the range thing, you can on Tinder you can choose how far and wide you wanna cast your web. So to speak.
Like, hey, listen, man. Like, if you put in that range, let's say past 10-15 km, hey, man. Like, your petrol game gotta be strong. Cause I mean, hey, man, it'd be hard in the streets, man. Petrol went up yesterday. If I go back on Tinder, I'm gonna decrease the range to 5 kilometers.
That's it.
I can't look too far anymore.
That's
man.
What it feels like for me. It's this convenience, you know, and it digs into lust, you know. A lot of people use it as a place to just get off, and that's cool. I have no problems with fuck, right? That's not the problem here. It's just I don't know if it doesn't feel real to me, you know. Just like Twitter, as much as the shit we say on Twitter, it doesn't feel like my real life. It's still outside of my everyday experience. Do you get what I'm saying?
No, I do get that. And I think you may have a point in the sense that maybe most people will view it as only being real once you actually meet each other, you know? Maybe you've been talking and you've been vibing and things are fine, but maybe as an individual, you'll think, okay, well, it's only going to get real if I actually meet her in person.
Mm. You know?
Whereas some people think, no, it's real from the minute I say hi to her on social media.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it really varies.
And for the most part, do you think most people are going there to find love or to go in there to fuck?
Yeah, I think people just want to get in and get out. For the most
Tinder
part.
Specifically, yeah. I know there's other like dating sites and matches and all this shit.
Yeah, and all that with the hectic profile edits and I definitely get that.
So would you ever do that thing? I don't know if you remember this episode of How I Met Your Mother when Ted was looking for the one and he went to like an online dating person and they match you and you're like, okay, you match 89% with this person. Let's say you're 35 years old, you're like, fuck, I'm tired of wanking, I need somebody. Would you ever go to somebody like that as a resort? Like a full-on, hey, searching for love.
Hey, listen, man, if I was 35 and I was in that situation, last resort, hey.
At all costs. All right. Okay, we got a couple of guests who are going to join us as well, just to give us their opinion. Because I think everybody has a different feeling about this, you know, personally speaking. On the mic, we're going to have Melissa as well as our viewer. They're here in the Cliff Central. Usually behind the scenes in the booth, they're actually producers. But they're coming through today just to help on with some different opinions. All right, Melissa, do you want to say hello to the people?
Hello.
Speak directly into that microphone, almost like you're kissing it. Make love to the people. There's people listening to you. They're like, that Melissa. All right, that's Melissa. And we also have our viewers. Say what's up, dog.
What up, yo.
Easy. Cool. Good to have you guys here, man. So, yeah, we've been talking about online dating. I know you guys have been listening a little bit. Melissa, just as the female in the room, how do you feel about online dating?
I don't know. I'm pro online dating. I mean, I really am.
Mm. Are you on any platforms right now?
I don't think I'd do it for myself.
Why not?
Personally, okay, socially already, like on my own, I'm very bad. So I don't think online dating is a thing for me.
Mm. But that's what Loisa was saying. He says it makes it easier for people who are bad socially, you know, who aren't very comfortable and confident when it comes to social scenarios. So it makes it easy because you can kind of be like, okay, I found this person. I kind of like them. I like what they do. Hi.
I'm an analyzer. Like, I like to look into someone's eyes and be like, okay,
dude,
you're lying. You're telling the truth.
You know, Melissa, you actually brought the most important point for me, because I can't believe I never mentioned or said it. That's exactly it. I need to look into your eyes, dog. Mm-hmm. Your eyes tell you a lot.
Yep.
You know, you look into somebody's soul, you look at their mannerisms, their behavior, because a lot of people can look good on a picture. Dog, ugly people can look good on a picture. Filter nyana, makeup nyana, we good, you know?
Anger.
You just need the anger.
True. Yeah.
But if I look at you in the eyes and I feel your energy, that's the one, actually. Because energy is contagious. Energy is obvious.
Yeah.
And it's something that you feel immediately. And that's what I feel about, you know, that initial engagement with that person, you know. It's like, boom, oh shit, there's something here. You know, if it's on Tinder, it's like pre-planned, and then you like get there and you're like, oh shit, I'm nervous or whatever. But I think if you ask a girl for a number in a bar, it's just because you're like, shit, this chick has brought up a fire in me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Aviva, tell me about your online dating experience. Have you had any? Do you see it as a good thing?
First and foremost, there is none of that.
None of that.
No. I'm a traditional kind of guy, man.
Yeah.
I'm a late adapter to a whole lot of these things. So let me not say I will not be there, but right now I'm just...
You cool.
Yeah, I'm cool right now, man.
Send the girl flowers, mate.
It's that type of vibe.
That's right?
Because I don't lie, it gets a bit scary when you're like, all right, cool.
Mm.
All and chats are being handled,
dude,
on the phone.
On the phone. And for me also, like, there are so many people that you can match with and so many people that you could ultimately end up with. It almost, it dilutes what could be special.
Bruh.
I don't know if that makes sense.
It makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah. But if I feel that immediately in person, then I don't have to worry. Because there's like, let's say 100 people in this bar.
Yeah.
And there's only one that makes me like excited or makes me want to approach her.
Sure.
Or 2-3 max. But on Tinder, there's 1,500 people in a 5-kilometer radius. I get 500 likes. Yeah. If I liked all of them, now I'm going to have to start doing an elimination process. How do I eliminate you if I don't really know you? You know what
that's
I mean?
The flop. That's really a problem.
Yeah.
You can only get so much from a bio.
People lie in their bios. You know what I mean? You can lie in reality, but it's easier to pick up.
You get that vibe, right? Some stalkerish thing.
Okay, so you're an actor, dancer, singer, model, but you don't have a house. Just say you're unemployed, bitch.
Yeah, and just because you're beautiful or handsome, it doesn't mean you've got a great personality.
Yeah. But what Loisa was saying is that you do eventually build that rapport because you plan to meet.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So on that level, I do understand.
Yeah, I see where they're coming from on that level, honestly. But I mean, there's just something about an organic meet, you know?
It's almost made for you.
You know.
Instead of you, you know, using your ego.
You know?
You know what you I know? Mean? So what do you think about it leading into the future? Are we all just going to stay at home from now on? Tinder. Oh, we need some milk. Let me get my drone to get me some milk.
Mate.
Dude, because the future is scary.
It's super scary. I don't know if you guys have seen on the news. Facebook is going in.
With what?
Online dating.
Oh, it's game over. It's game over this morning.
Yeah,
dude,
I saw this morning.
Facebook could actually rule the world. Because imagine if they got like a Google on Facebook. Like you see something on Facebook, you're like, let me
Google
a search engine.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They could take over Google. Nah, they could stream music. Hey, Mark Zuckerberg, if you listen to this, I want my money. Use your ideas. Don't just take my ideas and not credit me.
Yeah, Mark has got you guys. Dog. Mark has got you guys. Yo,
and like, he knows all of our information. He's probably listening to this right now.
Everything. So he was at a summit, F8, and he was rolling out the whole plan of this online dating thing that they planning to implement right now. So
you see, and Facebook is also a fucking cesspool.
It's crazy.
But there's a lot of people that I could get with.
It's crazy.
You see, that's the thing with me and human beings in general, is that we are able to connect with anyone because we're all the same. We all feel the same emotions. We all want the same things. I genuinely believe you can fall in love with anyone. True. If you give it enough time. True. If you know what I mean.
Sure. There's no one special soulmate.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why if there is online dating on Facebook and like 7-10 people hit me up, I'm fucking all 10 of these people, you know.
But isn't that what's already happening on Facebook? Like randoms already talk to each other on Facebook.
Yeah.
Make
DMs.
Friends. People are dating. Like, I don't know.
Lloyd, you've been quiet. What's up?
No, I mean, I agree with what everyone's saying. It's just, isn't it kind of all the same? I mean, you know, you guys are saying there's that, you know, kind of rapport when you meet up with someone in person. And that is true. It's 100% true. But the thing is, it's the same as if you're on social media. Because remember, you're not meeting up with someone who ain't feeling you. I mean, if we take the Tinder example into account, before you even chat to each other, you have to match, meaning that you both have that interest. Whereas, you know, you go out to a bar or whatever, there's no, you know, there isn't any of that. Hey, I like you and you like me. It's just you could be going into a hot mess, know, with thinking you have a chance. And meanwhile,
But don't you think it's easier to disseminate somebody's trustworthiness in person than online?
No doubt, but like I said, it gets to that point. What these social media things do is just give a platform, that initial platform, or should I say a platform before the, you know, the initial meet that wouldn't normally happen. That's all it does. So it's like an extra step. Whereas most people, you know, we go out to a bar or a club or whatever and you meet with someone. With these social media sites, it's just an extra step before the meetup. So, I mean, how can we not encourage that, guys?
No, man. You know, the things that gets me is like, I know you're also a fan of Master of None. I don't know if you remember the second season where he went on all those Tinder dates. That's what it's that oversaturation of people where I'm literally sifting through like this wave of endless pussy or whatever you want to call it. You know, how do I navigate that? You know what I mean? I guess if you do want to do that in reality, you can. But that's how I prefer the chance meetup. But anyway, that's just my personal opinion. Sure. This is the worst, guys. You listen to us today on a Wednesday, but you can obviously be listening to it at any other time because we live in the future now and you can download this podcast. We hope you're enjoying it. Please share with your peeps and hit us up on all social medias. Please, please, please. We'd love to engage with y'all. But we'll be back right after this one.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Alright, alright, alright. That is ASAP Shembe Bega. Guys, watch out for that guy. He's the leader of the new world when it comes to music, South African music especially. But yeah, we've been talking about online dating, whether people are pro or con. So far, it seems that most people are still traditionalists. But I don't know if that's just a fear of change or if it's genuinely better. But I think we've come to the conclusion that if you find love, you've won. So whichever way to get there, do it. Or if you've found lust, I mean, some people don't want to find love. So, yeah, do what you want to do at the end of the day. These are just our opinions, and you know, we tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but. And speaking of the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but, we are going to go into the stories that have caught our attention over the last week. Yeah, baby.
Draw a mean-ass Playboy in trouble again. Playboy Penny at it again. Read about it. Extra, please grab young Farron. Extra, extra. Read all about it. Life story of Playboy.
All right, all right, all right. So one particular story that I think has caught all of our attention over the last week, or let me say more black people's attention, is Kanye West. Kanye West is wilding out yet again, guys. Kanye West is wilding out. He's wilding out, and he's saying some crazy shit, man.
You behave or else you jump.
Yeah, man, he's misbehaving. And this is what Kanye is known for. That's why I'm surprised that people are surprised. But I do genuinely believe that he's caused a good debate, an important debate. So here's the story for those of you who don't know it, to our Caucasian listeners most probably. So Kanye West, right? Kanye West, he went out on TMZ. Firstly, he started with a Twitter rant. I'm actually going to go to his Twitter timeline. He's talking about his ideas of politics as well as slavery, what happened in the past, what can we do in the future, all those types of things, right? But his most controversial statement was on TMZ, where he stated that slavery was a choice for black people over those 400 years. Loiso, tell me what you think about that.
First off, Kanye, you ain't got the answers, Kanye. Let's make that clear. You ain't got the answers.
Okay.
No, man. Yeah, man. Where do we even start, man? I think
slavery.
You know, no.
Let's start with what he's saying about slavery and the fact that it was a choice. What do you believe about that?
Well, I mean, is there even anything to believe? I mean, he's clearly, you know, on some shit. I mean, what can I say? There's nothing, you know, you hear he's been talking about, you know, general ideologies of life and philosophical ideas, which, you know, you can agree with some of them in his lengthy Twitter rants. Mm. But then he goes and says, so you be sitting there and you're like, yeah, Kanye, yeah. Oh, yes. Those are some bars, Kanye. There we go. And then he says the thing about slavery. And you're like, wait, what?
Mm.
It's like, did you think you had to throw that in there for control or something? Like, you know what I mean? Like, so, I mean, on that slavery note, I mean, I don't even know how to argue it because I'm just so against what he said.
I do.
Hey, go for it.
Okay. So, firstly, I think a lot of people have taken what he said out of context. What I think he's addressing is more of a mental slavery. He does even mention it in that video. But slaves liberated themselves, right? The first slavery revolution was the Haitian Revolution. Yes. So, in the idea of liberation, why did it take so long? And what I think he's getting to is a similar mental slavery that we are currently under, where a lot of people knowingly and willingly participate in activities of life to make money or do whatever they want to do to survive. It's that whole idea that we are mentally enslaved by the system, by society. So I don't think you were saying like they didn't whip us and chain us to ships and we put our hands out when the white people came. Take me, master. I don't think that's what he's trying to say. I think that we got locked into an idea that this is slavery and we can't get out until somebody, eventually somebody guys said, yo, guys, fuck this shit. And I think he's saying the similar thing about our world right now, because our world is fucked up. And I think we need to change our conscious mentality to change our reality to a better one. And it takes that one person to go, yo, what the fuck, guys? This is all fucked up.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Well, listen, you asked when you started off, you asked why did it take so long? Well, what history has shown us is that opposing regimes such as that, you know, oppressive systems and ideologies takes time. You know, from the Cold War and the fall of the Berlin Wall to the dissolution of the USSR to apartheid to, you know, slavery to everything. It takes time and it takes constant battling. So the slavery battle is no different. It took I wanted to say decades, but actually in actual fact centuries of constant battling against the immensely oppressive system, maybe the worst ever, to finally be free from the shackles. So by saying something like, oh, it was a choice, you totally demean the centuries worth of fight, in my opinion. You totally demean the centuries worth of fight that those oppressed African Americans back in the day fought for. So I think I'm pretty sure that's why the majority of people are totally against what he said, and I concur with them.
Okay, because I don't think he's taking away their struggle. I don't think he means to say that the people who fought for it didn't fight for it or didn't go through pain or didn't. I just think he's trying to say that, guys, the reason why it happened is because a lot of the time our minds are what enslave us. So we learn that fear. We learn that behavior. We learn to become enslaved. Do you think that there's modern slavery? You know, like his song, New Slaves?
Can you elaborate a little bit more?
Modern slavery, like we're enslaved to materialism, to the working system.
In that respect, absolutely.
Yes. Without. So how do you think we would break out of that? And why do you think we haven't yet?
Well, modern slavery is different to an actual oppressive system.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, slavery back then was an actual system that governed the people.
But we are in a system that is governed.
But modern, how did you just say again? How you just
the mental slavery, the world that we live in. Even though a lot of the time we don't like it, we participate in it.
Yes, we participate. But so everybody has a choice. Nobody had a choice back then.
Yes,
and that's the whole thing.
Yes,
which is why look, he may not have meant it, and I personally don't. I don't think he meant, you know, in a sense that, oh my God, you guys centuries ago were just chilling and you didn't make the choice to fight. Obviously he didn't mean that. But nowadays we have a choice to, we actually have a choice to say, with this modern day slavery, as you put it, we have a choice to not partake in, let's say, I don't know, social media or media things. We have a choice to not. Yeah, or voting, you know.
But most people still do.
Yeah, but we have a choice not to. Whereas then we didn't.
But you have
that was the whole fight of apartheid, the right to vote.
Yeah, but it's like saying
previously there was no choice, and 19 like we just had Freedom Day now, 27th of April there finally was.
But eventually somebody put up a fight.
But we had been putting up a fight throughout these last decades.
Yes,
it just takes time to finally the revolution to finally happen.
Yes, why did it take so long to get to that point?
because it was an it was a system. It was a system built over centuries.
Mm.
So it's going to take equally as long to break down.
Okay, so you think it's still going to take another 400 years? I could believe that
Well, it's not going to take 400 years for the slavery you're talking about now, because it hasn't been around that long. And okay. We have more choice.
Yeah. So now I'm talking about the slavery that we are in now. How do we break out of it?
Well, you have to come to that decision by yourself. And first of all, you have to identify what you feel you're being enslaved by. And then you have to come to the decision on how to take steps to actively fight against that. Which, we live in a day and age where you actually can make choices like that.
Okay.
Whereas back then you couldn't.
So if we are, you agree that we are currently mentally enslaved?
No, I don't, because that's way too broad. I that's why I kept on asking you, how do you mean? In what sense? In which field? You can't just broadly say you're mentally enslaved and not elaborate, because then it just puts... And by the way, I agree with you that there can be fields in which the mind is oppressed, but I don't understand how you mean when you just say, oh no, we are in this day and age.
I'm talking about the system that we work and live in. A lot of the things that people do, let me finish. A lot of the things that people do are things that they don't like to do. Would you agree with that? Would you say the majority of people enjoy their jobs and the majority of people don't?
The majority of people don't.
Okay. Why
but they have, those people have a choice to leave their work or continue doing it.
But that's the thing.
And they have their reasons for either continuing
or leaving. That's the thing. They'll tell you that they don't. I need to provide. I need to do this.
But
and then,
the people who tell you they need to provide do need to
exactly.
provide.
So it's just like the slaves. Oh, I need to stay. I have nowhere to go. You know, there's a mental block.
Go.
They could if they fought enslaved. For it. But they if
but
they could
they were fighting for it over centuries.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. But why didn't it happen sooner? It's an idea that started the revolution. Why does an idea have to take 400 years? Why did it have to take 400 years to be like, whoa, we're not... They knew, as slaves, they knew that they were equal to their masters from the beginning. Yes, no, maybe.
Well, maybe. We don't know.
We have to know, because they knew they were human.
But if you're being shackled and you're being... shipped across a sea that you've never even been on to a different society, and being told from when you're young and being told that, oh, this is what you are, and this is the role in society you have. Mentally, it's not a definite that mentally thinking you know that you're equal. It's the whole thing of how people have often said the problem with a lot of black minds is that we still feel inferior to other individuals, mainly white people. So,
and how do we get out of that? By saying fuck that, right?
Yes, but it wasn't a choice back then.
Yes, but the fuck that is the choice. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. That
yes, now, absolutely now. The
even
fuck
then
that is a
there was a back fuck then, that there was a, it had to happen because otherwise there'd still be slavery now if nobody said fuck that.
Many people said fuck that, and then they got shot or they got thrown off the boat.
Yeah. So why?
I don't understand.
I'm saying eventually it happened.
Yes, through the continuous fuck that.
Yes, yes, yes. So now we're doing the same thing now, right? And we mustn't pretend that even though the system isn't our choice, we can break out of it by saying fuck that. By not complying to government and, you know, diplomacy and red tape, the kind of things that we all are aware of but don't necessarily like. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm saying we need to shift our mentality. And that's where it comes to, this is actually the most important part of what Kanye West was talking about, is the ideologies, the political ideologies for the future are based around a mentality shift. You know, so it's a mentality shift for us now as it was for them then. Do you get what I'm saying?
Not really, but we'll...
What is missing? What is missing?
What is missing is I don't understand how we can equate us and our struggles choices, whatever you want to name it now, to there. That was the issue. That was the main issue with what he said, is he was talking about things that were happening centuries ago and equating them to the things we have now.
Okay.
So I hear your argument. You kind of, you gave him the benefit of the doubt because you've been listening to his music for years, you and interviews and whatever. So you knew, oh, Kanye, this is actually I'm pretty sure this is what you're trying to say. But not everyone knows
that. Context. I think it was taken out of context.
But it wasn't taken out of context because of the way he framed it.
Okay.
You, because you know him, and that makes sense, or not know him personally. You know him, so you're like, oh, okay. Because what he said was slavery back then was a choice. So now you were like, oh, so what could he mean by that? And then you broke it down, and you said, and in your mind, you were like, oh, okay, I think this is what he meant. But not everyone breaks things down like that. Okay. Other people would just be like, oh, you just said this was a choice, and that is incorrect. You see where the problems come from, or his framing of the way he articulates, it just comes down to the articulation.
Words are important,
exactly,
and he fucked it up.
Absolutely,
I completely agree with that. You know, but what I'm trying to do is look at what he was trying to say.
No, absolutely, but then frame it as such. You know, like we can't say, oh, I agree with him, and then that's that. You have to say, listen, he said this, and I think he this is what he said, and I think he was being way too baseline or not broad enough, and this is what I think he meant. That's how we need to address the argument for tackle the argument for people who are pro what they think he said.
But that's how we have done it. I said from the beginning, like, I genuinely believe that he didn't mean it that the way it came across.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I don't know if you've seen the trends like on Twitter, like the memes of if slavery was a choice.
Yeah,
you
know, no,
getting
interviewed
and stuff.
And also,
he knows it was a systematic
another
oppression.
Reason for people who don't listen to his music, and you know the reason Mark or anyone else would come and say, oh, I think this is what he means, is because this is the same guy who gave us songs like When It All Falls Down, where he talks about the system oppressing, you know, black folk, where, you know, I don't even know how many songs to name, where he talks about these things. So that's why people who are a lot of people, not everyone, but that's why a lot of people are willing to come to his defense, because he has actually spoke against you know, the system, so to speak, quote unquote, and you know, just oppression in general, and he has made a lot of sense while doing so. But in this particular instance, I don't think he made as much sense.
And what do you think about artists speaking on politics?
What I think is that it's most certainly their right, but I think us, the community, like people in general, give them way too much credence. Like, honestly, we shouldn't care nearly enough, nearly as much as we do in their political leanings and such. And I get, because the argument becomes, oh, well, you know, they reach a lot of individuals, and you know, they could be influencing other people, and that is true, they could be. But I mean, like we're just talking about social media and dating. We live in a day and age where there are just so many modes of information, and you know, where it's the news, where it's online, whether it's, you know, book, school, whatever, where you can actually find out what you need to find out. And I don't think we can use the excuse of, oh, a celebrity said this and this, and that's why I believe that. I think that's far too broad. So basically what I'm saying is, I don't care, and I don't think anyone else should care too much about either celebrities, sportsmen, you name it, people in the public eye, care.
So who should society look to as our leaders? Because I'm not looking at Donald Trump, I'm not looking at Jacob Zuma, I'm not looking at the politicians. Even the politicians don't know what's going on in politics. So who should direct change? Because we need a change in ideology, no?
Do you not agree? Do you think the world is at a play? Do you not see it getting better?
Who
do
you look to? You just said I'm not looking to, you know, Donald Trump and Jay-Z and politicians
in general.
In general, right? And I agree with you that I'm not looking at Donald Trump and Jay-Z, but I'm looking at other politicians who appear to know what they feel of work and what they're actually doing. And that's what we're doing. That's what we should be doing. So if Kanye or whoever's talking about a certain field, whether it's music, whether it's politics or whatever, we need to hope that he knows the field he's talking about.
Mm.
So which is why when it's Kanye talking about politics, I couldn't care less. But if it was, I don't know, anyone who's knowledgeable about politics. He's not even saying, oh, they had to have studied it and gone to school. No, but if you've shown a vast knowledge of politics, then you can be a musician or a sports star or anyone. I'll take you seriously. Mm. And it goes for every field as well.
Okay. My argument to that would be that he does understand politics. Politics is how human beings engage with each other.
At the base.
Not the history. Listen to what I'm trying to say. Not the history. Not the Second Amendment. Not the liberation movement. I'm talking about the way we engage with each other.
Everything you just mentioned is politics.
Exactly.
No. You said politics isn't the amendment, liberation, and you mentioned
that's what's happened. But I'm talking about the way we engage each other. Listen, if we came in, this is the perfect way to describe it. If me, you, and Avi were the first people here, the three of us, we'd have to decide how to get along, right?
Yeah.
We'd have to decide how we engage as people, how our society functions.
Yeah.
That is politics.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Or it could be part of it, but politics,
the rest is structure. The rest is structure.
Yes, but it's structure that's legislation.
But it could be changed. That could be changed.
Through politics.
Yeah. It could be changed.
Could be changed through politics.
What is that? What politics are you talking about? If this is a structure and this is politics.
Politics, it could be changed through legislation.
The structure.
Yes, and the structure can only be changed through legislation. For example,
legislation is the structure.
The Constitution, for example, the Constitution of SA is there, it's set in stone, and that's the rules and rights of South Africa. That's how we govern our country. It can be changed. How can it be changed? It can be changed by whichever party is ruling, and if they have 2/3 majority of the vote. That's politics.
Let me help you understand. Please. The change would happen because of our change of ideas.
Yes, through politics, through the parliament, through getting votes so that you can be in power and implement the change.
The change would happen from our minds, our the way Absolutely. The three of us, me, you, and Avi, say, okay, we like this line here.
Yes.
Tomorrow, we say we don't like this here.
Mm-hmm.
We all agree
mm-hmm.
that we don't like this here. That consensus among us before we move the line, mm-hmm. before we amend the Constitution, happens amongst us as people. We have an idea of what we want, and then we use that legislation to get to the idea of what we want.
Exactly. So we're saying the same thing then. Me, you, and Avi, we're talking about the change and the idea.
That's politics. That's what I'm trying
to
tell
you. But it's not. It's not.
It's the essence. Obviously, there's more to it. Everything has layers.
Yes, but
the
essence is simplifying it too much. I can't even agree that that's politics.
You have to simplify.
It's not.
You have to simplify.
No, you can't.
To the fundamental. You have to simplify it to the most fundamental point.
Because then that's just us having a discussion. That's just me, you, and Avi having a discussion. It's not politics.
It is. But because we're relating to each other and we're sharing a space and we're deciding together how we're going to use that space. That
yes,
decision,
then,
that thought process, the way we come to consensus, the way we relate to each other is politics. The rest is how we managed to change that idea that we've had and shared together. Okay, so we want to
move politics.
We want to move this year. So the way we're going to do that, our politics with the three of us, we'd be like, okay, we're going to have to go and we're going to have to pick it up and we're going to have to put it here. Because there would be no voting. There'd be no red tape. There'd be no long routes to get that stick from this place to this place. Right? So that us going to move the bench is the political structure that you're talking about, the thing that makes it happen.
But no, the idea it's not.
Itself.
It's part of the thing that makes it happen.
No, it's the result of the final idea that we've come to. The consensus that we've come to is that we want to move the stick.
And how do we implement it?
That's exactly what I'm saying to you.
That's not what you're saying, though. Like, it's not.
It is.
Like, it's not. If me, you, and Avi are having a discussion and we come to agreement, whatever the topic is, and we come to agreement and we want to move it forward, how can I just say that's politics if we haven't moved it forward and implemented it? Oh, please explain it to me.
The idea of what we want as a people in our shared space determines what we do in order to get there.
I agree with you, but that's not politics.
What is it then?
I don't know how...
What is it? No, what is it then if it's not politics?
Politics.
The idea.
What do you mean? The idea can
be consensus that we've come to as a team, as together. What is that?
That's an agreement. That's communication. What?
That's exactly what I'm trying to get to. We agree, like America agrees, that they want guns. So they're all going to have guns, and it's going to be written in the Second Amendment.
Yes,
but if they change that idea, that is the essence of politics.
That's what I'm saying. How do they change it? Through the amendments and constitution.
Through the legislation.
Through Congress.
Yes. Congress. I'm talking about
Congress.
I'm talking about the fundamental idea, Loiso Mzinyathi.
That's why I said it's just part of it. Because ultimately, there is Congress. You can't say, but there was no Congress. There is Congress.
Yes.
If you're going to make that final step to change it, you're going to have to go through Congress.
Yes.
Agree?
Yes, 100%. 100%. So, and that's where I will come to a meeting point, a halfway point, because we'll have to go through Congress. And that's maybe the point where Kanye West lacks. But the idea, the way we change our society, the idea is not wrong. And it only stems from idea into reality. Right?
No doubt.
Yeah. So that's exactly what I'm trying to tell you is that the idea is the fundamental thing that influences the structure, the legislation, the Second Amendment, the Constitution. So those things are ideally you want them to be done by somebody who studied politics 101 or how to write in a constitution or law or whatever. But what I'm trying to get to is as a society, we decide how we want to live together. And that by itself is a political ideology. What is our ideology?
That's absolutely correct.
Yes.
That's absolutely correct. And then you take it up.
Yeah. Then the processes are fine. But I'm talking
That's all I've been saying as well.
But Kanye West's ideas have value.
Hey, listen. Since we came up here, nobody said his ideas don't have value.
Yeah.
I just, from the get-go, I disagreed with what he particularly said about slavery being a choice.
Yeah.
That's
but
where
I'm
we
saying,
start.
No, we moved on from that.
Yeah.
I'm saying artists having political influence.
No doubt.
Yeah. I'm saying we should start looking to that as opposed to what we currently have, because what we currently have is not working. Our society is failing. Most people are poor, in poverty, whatever. So we need to change our structures, because our structures aren't working. And in order to do that, we need to change our ideas. And that's where that political influence of an artist comes from, because he's not bound by the Constitution or he is bound by the Constitution legally, but in terms of influencing the idea of how we relate to each other. That's a different side of it entirely. And I think we can look to artists for that, because for the most part, and I don't know how you feel about the artists that you listen to, artists speak the truth. They take you to that point
beyond the lines and the rip tape and the diplomacy.
Look, this is what it boils down to. You're quite right. This is what it boils down to. We can look to anyone, whether you're an artist, whether you're a street guy or a homeless guy or whatever. We can look to anyone who knows their shit. That's all I was saying.
That's what I'm saying. He does know his shit in that fundamental essence.
Well, not everyone believes that.
In terms of structure, that
you definitely believe that. But love is that love is the only way. As we can see, that not everyone believes that.
But we need to come to a consensus if we want to go anywhere.
Exactly. No, no doubt.
What I'm trying to say is get to the fact that we need to start believing the same thing. And what I'm saying we need to believe is that love is the future. That we can change the way we interact with each other. We can actually debunk the whole school system itself, the way it's taught, the way it makes slaves of people by turning them into robots, into things that they'll go into because they have to be, you have to go to school, get a degree, get a job, and die. That's not the way life is meant to be lived. That's not the original plan. Do you know? So I'm saying he sees that. And what I'm saying about looking at artists is we need to follow that influence. So now people listen to Kanye and talk about this. And then he says, oh, shit, I've always wanted to learn the structures of politics. I've always wanted to learn the structures of politics. But this is how it should be. Maybe let's not build a wall, you know. But that fundamental idea can be taken from artists. I'm not saying he must be president, but he has the influence, and I trust Kanye West more than Donald Trump. I trust Jay-Z more. I think J. Cole could do a good job. You know, that's why that whole presidential thing has opened up so much. And people think it's so ridiculous that The
Rock
can
Donald Trump is a celebrity. Yeah.
Yeah, that The Rock can be... you see, that as well. Donald Trump's election has opened up the kinds of people we can have in leadership. And I don't think we should necessarily be focused on the suit and tie guy who got this fancy schmancy degree from Harvard and has been following this tight line and who's trying to make the world the same as it has been for years and years and years. And it's been a failure for years and years and years. And we continue to buy into the system for years and years and years because that's what we know and that's what we're used to and we're afraid of change.
We definitely...
That's a mental slavery. We need to break out of.
We definitely shouldn't follow someone just because of whatever school they went to or whatever. We need to follow someone who knows their shit. Whether you're a celebrity, whether you're anybody.
Yeah.
I agree.
And I'm saying he knows his shit in the ideology.
And I'm saying not everyone agrees with that, as we've seen.
Yes, but we're not... I'm talking about me and you. We're trying to get to a consensus, yeah? Don't say not everyone agrees with that. I'm asking you about this ideology that I'm talking
about.
Yes,
and you're saying you agree with what he says, right? And I'm saying I don't agree with what he says.
In terms of his political ideology that love is the future, you don't believe that?
Saying love is the future isn't a political ideology. Are you if you were gonna run?
I have to pull out this tweet.
If you're gonna run for office, what are you running on? Saying love is the future. I haven't
created the campaign.
Why? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah,
please,
yeah, yeah.
Someone help me.
I'm getting to this tweet.
Please, okay, show some Kanye knowledge on me. Spring some Kanye knowledge on me. Hey, listen, let me make it clear. I'm not saying vote for the Harvard guy or only listen to whatever, you know. I'm saying listen to someone you think makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's what I'm trying to get to. I'm saying... it's not ridiculous by virtue of him being an artist.
No, absolutely. That is a very important point to make, and you're quite right. You can't dismiss someone just because they're an artist. Absolutely. Yeah. I couldn't agree more.
This is the point that I was trying to make. We're opening up the conversation to psychologists, sociologists, philosophers of the world, and we're moving away from infiltrating the youth and using them as a tool to create a cult, following based off of a desire to fit in. People have their own voice. So this is the speech, ultimately. This is the policy that you're asking me. I'm voting. I'm running for president. What's your manifesto? This is something that you'd look at. Do you know what I mean? So it's not just an airy-fairy. There's psychologists. There's philosophy. There's sociology. You know, these the arts, they influence the way society runs or works. So that's what I'm saying. We can't disregard the artist because he's an artist.
Absolutely.
So now let's look at what he's saying. Do you believe in what he's saying about, you know, the world we've been, we're trying to move away from a world where the youth is being infiltrated and used to create a system where they have a desire to fit in? Do you think that that's happening?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Okay. He says we're opening up the conversation.
Yes.
To the psychologists, sociologists, and philosophers of the world, and removing away from infiltrating the youth and using them as a tool to create a cult following based off of a desire to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that that's the case? That that is what has happened?
Yes.
Exactly. So he has a good political idea.
I agreed with one point of
his. So he has a good political idea. That's what I'm trying to get to. We can't disregard him.
Yes.
Because he's got...
And I can't listen to him unconditionally because he had one good idea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, 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 cool. This is a good argument. This is a good debate.
Yeah, man.
I love having vigorous debates where people don't agree because we don't agree on everything. And my ultimate is that we need a change and we need it quickly and we need it desperately. I don't know what you feel. Do you think we need a change?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Who do you think we should look to? Give me a name. Who's somebody you look up to, a leader?
Somebody I look up to. In South Africa, Julius Malema.
Okay, that's a good one. That's a good one. Anyway, you've been listening to The Worst Guys. We've been chatting way too much, actually. This topic is actually super hard fire. Thank you so much for listening. We have run out of time, so unfortunately, no Worst Guys cypher today. But we'll be back next week with that. Thank you so much for listening, and we are out.
This is CliffCentral.com.